Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, August the 8th, 2017, 1:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You're tuned into the Now program. I am Scott Spears, along with you for the ride. And we want to thank our guest today, former NBC-CBS news correspondent, former host of Meet the Press, a man who was on Nixon's enemies list, President Nixon's enemies list, Marvin Kaub, and Professor Larry Guerra, author and political scientist, for being on in hour number one. And our gentleman joining us here in hour number two is a regular visitor to the airwaves here at WWGH Radio. He is an author, political scientist, and professor, and always a lot of fun to talk to, doing double duty today, Dr. Ron Feynman. Dr. Feynman, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It is nice doing double duty, and it's nice to follow two distinguished people like Marvin Kaub and Larry Guerra.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the conversation seems to be the same, and it's all about Washington these days, and CNN was just reporting from the Washington Post that U.S. intelligence has concluded North Korea is making nuclear warheads capable of being carried on missiles. CNN is reporting that the Washington Post is reporting that. What do you make of that, Dr. Feynman?
Yeah, I heard it on MSNBC just a few minutes ago. It's stunning and it's terrifying. I don't know what this is going to lead to, because I don't know if our president will know how to deal with this in a way that will avoid ultimate tragedy. It's really terrifying.
Well, my question is if we do end up going to war with North Korea, which, I mean, how close do you think we are?
I would think pretty close, based on what I'm hearing from the administration. And I think that's going to be a massive loss of life in South Korea and in Japan, and also 28,000 American soldiers that are stationed in South Korea. Very scary.
If we go to war with North Korea, what would that do to the Russian investigation?
Oh, boy. It probably would take some attention off it. I don't think completely, but obviously if we have a wartime president, it does tend to bring public opinion generally behind the president, at least early on, until we discover blunders and mistakes have been made, and then, of course, he could suffer. But in the short run, it probably would boost his public opinion ratings, I believe.
You have been very fervent that you believe President Trump will resign or be impeached and leave office, basically, by May of 2018. You even thought maybe it would be later this year. If we go to war, does that change that prediction?
I don't know. It's hard to say. It definitely would muddy up the waters. It definitely would change things, and that's why trying to predict the future is, of course, always a guessing game. It's best judgment at the moment, but it's hard to say if we have a major war how we would react and how the Congress would react. You know, I'm not sure how the Congress would react to this. You know, I guess they'd be backing at least originally, but I guess the whole way that the war is handled will determine whether there'll be much support for the president for long.
A war with North Korea, for people who have only lived through the Iraqi war and the war in Afghanistan, how would this war with North Korea be comparable?
I think it'd be far worse, because if you go back to the Korean War, I was a little kid at the time. I don't remember it personally, but I was alive. The first 3 months of the war, when North Korea invaded South Korea, they practically took over the whole peninsula, and then they were pushed back, and it went on for 3 years, leading to a stalemate, but not a victory, and it caused a tremendous loss of lives. And, you know, Seoul is only about an hour from the boundary line between North and South Korea. It's like the distance between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. So if they decide to do an invasion or lob nuclear missiles or chemical weapons or biological weapons with millions of people living in Seoul, it will be a tremendous tragedy of major proportions.
Do you think, aside from liking or disliking Donald Trump, do you think he is capable of handling this war?
I don't think he is. Hopefully the military people around him are. McMaster and Kelly and Mattis. Thank goodness they're there. I think they are important. But A lot depends on how he decides to react, because he still has the final say. He can actually fight against them. And right now, the alt-right is trying to get rid of McMaster. And I think that their goal ultimately is to move him toward a more extreme reaction. So I'm hoping the military people around him, who are patriots and have great records of their careers, will be able to control him and make the response the best it can be under the circumstances.
It's very interesting. We have not had the best relationship with North Korea for a while, but why has this escalation happened?
I think a lot of it has to do with Donald Trump, to be honest. I mean, all along they've been developing the capability. But I think that his tweets and his attacks openly, I think, make things worse. I think that diplomacy behind the scenes always is better than speaking out as he does. But he is uncontrollable when it comes to Twitter. And that has become a real devastating situation in his relations with many foreign governments, including our so-called friends, who he's been alienating a lot.
Do you think there's anybody in the White House who can tell Donald Trump what to do, or that he takes a suggestion of and goes with?
Again, I'm hoping Kelly, the new White House chief of staff, although he's not able to control him on Twitter in the last few days, I still think Kelly and Mattis and McMaster, the National Security Advisor, and Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, are comforting figures at this point, even though I look at history and it is not ordinarily so to have military people in top government positions. We've only had George C. Marshall under Harry Truman as Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, and Alexander Haig White House Chief of Staff under Nixon toward the end. But otherwise, we have not really had top military people that close, but I sense that these people are a stabilizing force, and I'm praying they are. But actually, ordinarily, nobody can control Donald Trump, it seems to me.
He's been in office now over 200 days. If you had to grade him, what would the grade be?
I'm going to try to be generous. How about D, as in David, minus?
Why so poorly?
To me, the only thing he's, quote, accomplished is Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, of course, with changing the rules on the filibuster. Otherwise, he never would have gotten them through. Neil Gorsuch got a lower vote, 55-45, than any modern Supreme Court justice except Clarence Thomas, who got 52-48 as a vote. He would not have gotten that approved if there had been a filibuster rule that you needed 60 votes in order to have a vote. Other than that, his executive orders have been destructive. I see now that the move is on to immediately remove transgender people in the military. It looks like the military is following through on his tweet of, I guess, 10 days ago. I think that's devastating. I think, yes, the economy has been good, but the economy was good under Obama last year. They talk about Trump has a million jobs in the 6 months. Well, Obama had a million jobs in the 6 months before. The economy, went from 10% unemployment to just under 5% unemployment under Barack Obama. Now it's lowered it a bit, but the fact is it was Obama who really got the economy moving, got the stock market more than doubled, almost tripled. And yes, it's up now. It's true. The stock market is up because they don't want regulation, and Trump is moving to deregulate everything, which is not necessarily good, of course. But honestly, I think even if Hillary Clinton had won, the stock market was going to go up. Maybe not as much, but I don't think it would have gone down. So I think he's taking too much credit for that, for as far as the stock market and unemployment. So to me, if it wasn't for Neil Gorsuch, I would think that he has accomplished nothing. And that's why I would ordinarily give him an F, but I'll give him a D minus.
Well, I tell you, something interesting, I don't know if you saw it last night, CNN did a special, Fareed Zakaria did one on why Trump won. It was a fascinating special, and it speaks to something you just said. The last 6 months under Obama were very good, with the stock market as well as unemployment rate. Was last year's election more about President Obama than Hillary Clinton?
Well, there certainly was a percentage of the country that never accepted Barack Obama, including, of course, Donald Trump. And I think that a lot of people just felt that, Obama was too extreme in their mind, although I don't think he was. Think of him as someone who was undesirable to be in the White House, and a lot of it was, I think, racially based. And I think that prejudice had a lot to do with the vote to a great extent.
Well, it was interesting because I go back and I look at the major points of the election last year, and Donald Trump's foray into politics came by saying he did not believe, or he questioned Barack Obama's birthright in the United States, and then he campaigned on repeal and replace Obamacare. And President Obama was out there campaigning like crazy for Hillary Clinton. And it just seems, and he said he didn't believe the unemployment numbers, President Trump did last year when he was campaigning. It seemed like he was attacking President Obama's record more than he was Hillary Clinton's.
Well, in some ways he was, but I think there was also misogyny involved about the idea that there's a certain percentage of people who just do not believe a woman should be president of the United States. And I think that plus the Bill Clinton scandals and the fact that she stood by him and stayed married to him and all that, I think also hurt, because even though Bill Clinton had high ratings during the Monica Lewinsky scandal and people were saying don't kick him out of office, I think there was a certain percentage of the country that just never got over the Bill Clinton sex scandal, and yet they can overlook the kind of behavior of Donald Trump. So obviously there's a lot of hypocrisy involved, as well as misogyny and racism, I think, in what happened.
Well, her book comes out here in about a month, and the title, I mean, it was my understanding there were supposed to be a lot of essays and positive motivation. Well, the title is What Happened? So it seems to be more about last year's election. And I was talking with Eleanor Clift yesterday on the air from the Daily Beast, and she said there's supposed to be some big revelation in this book that'll help it fly off the shelves. I mean, we've talked about misogyny, we've talked about Russia, we've talked about Comey. What could the, if you had to guess, what could a revelation be?
I have no idea, to be honest. I have to thought that far ahead about what she might be writing. I guess that's good about writing a book. You want it to be a surprise so it sells. But the last book she wrote did not sell very well, so I wonder how well this new book will sell. The book she wrote after she left being Secretary of State did not do well. I really don't know. I'd have to do some thinking about it. You've caught me off guard here.
Well, it's interesting because you are right. The book Hard Choices did not sell very well after she left Secretary of State, but yet she got the party's nomination. Does it make any sense to write a book like this?
Well, I think the Hillary Clinton supporters, they'll like it, but I think anybody else would think it's sour grapes. It probably will not do her well if she has any thought of running again, because I think it'll look as if she just wants a sob story and she just wants sympathy, and that, you know, and that she's making money off of her defeat in a way that I think for those who don't like her or hate her, there's a lot of hate, which I don't understand, that it very well might not sell well. It might very well be a flop, although it'll get some news coverage, obviously, when it comes out. But it'll be interesting to see if she can really sell well on it. And at this point, I'd be willing to bet she will not.
What do you think President Obama will do with the rest of his life? He's got a long life. He's on vacation now, but when he gets back in the public eye, what will he do?
Well, I think he'll start, I think he is starting a foundation like the Clintons and Jimmy Carter have done. I think he will also try to rejuvenate the Democratic Party, which is a massive mess right now because of the split in the party. On my own blog, The Progressive Professor, I have people that write on it, you know, comment, and they're writing about the issue of Bernie Sanders' influence and about whether we need to move more to the left in the Democratic Party. And, you know, I'm called a progressive, but I think we need to remain in the center and not eliminate or discourage people like Joe Manchin or indeed Heidi Heitkamp or Claire McCaskill or John Tester, who are more moderate, because I don't think the Democratic Party can possibly gain a majority if they're going to try to repudiate those who are more to the center. But there's a big split there, and I have people fighting about it on my blog, which is interesting, in their comments. And I've taken a stand that as a progressive, we cannot make it a purified party. It's not going to work. Both parties need to move to the middle in order to have success and have people cross the aisle. And that's why, as I said at Adam Lepp's show, I think the future should be in the Republican Party someone like John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who is conservative but still is a moderate centrist. And I think could really lead the party and would be better because he knows how to cross the aisle, just as I think there are Democrats who know how to cross the aisle. And we're not doing it now.
But can a Republican like John Kasich win the electoral map?
Well, Ohio is crucial, as I point out over and over, and he's from Ohio. And I think whoever wins Ohio in 2020 will be the next president, and I think it will make it difficult for the Democrats if Kasich is the nominee. It's going to be difficult in the Republican Party, but I think the Democrats, if they're going to come out to be too far to the left, they're going to end up alienating people who will think they're just coastal, elites and only interested in women and minority groups and gay and lesbian people. And those are all part of the Democratic Party. But they have to appeal to the working class, the white working class, and they have to appeal to more whites in general, particularly women. And I just think that, you know, the Bernie Sanders route is not going to work, and he's going to be himself 79, and I think that's just too old to be a nominee, and I don't think he would win the election, even though there are people who disagree with me on that.
Why is Bernie Sanders, who would be 79, at least thought of as somebody who would run, and Hillary Clinton, who will be 73, thought of as, oh man, no way?
Well, because she has run twice, he's only run once, and he does appeal to a lot of younger people, Bernie Sanders. But honestly, his background is that he's not a party loyalist. He's a Democrat, and then he wasn't, and then he became a Democrat. Now he isn't again, although he organizes with the Democrats. And I do think that while his ideas are interesting and significant, I don't think that they are going to be unifying, and I do not think he could win the election.
Well, it's interesting to me because I do hear this Hillary lost twice a lot, but the truth is, I mean, did she lose last time? Do we even know the answer to that yet?
Well, but officially she lost. It's true that she may not have lost, but we're not going to be able to put her in the White House no matter what happens to Donald Trump. We're going to be having Mike Pence as the next president. But I agree with what you're saying, that she may have won, but most people would say, look, get over it, it's done. And as far as the result being changed, it cannot be changed, but we want to find out the truth and prevent this in the future.
Well, if the book sales go well, wouldn't that mean there's interest in it? Because if the book's totally based on the idea that this is why I lost, aren't people interested?
Well, they might be, you know, again, trying to prognosticate. You know, I tend to think that it will not sell well. If it does, it might fuel the possibility for running. But honestly, I don't think, as I think you've said already, if Donald Trump is still president, which I don't think he will be, it will be very, very difficult. It'll be like Stevenson running against Eisenhower the second time in 1956. And believe me, I'm not comparing Eisenhower to Trump, but just saying when you've already, quote, lost, end quote, to a person who becomes president, to have the same candidate again does not work. It really doesn't. But if indeed it is Mike Pence, or if someone challenges him, as now the New York Times indicates that it could be Kasich, and it could be also Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Senator Cotton, or it could be Ben Sasse of Nebraska, then I think the possibility of her running is increased. But it's still going to seem like, oh, back to the old stuff, particularly if someone new comes along, such as Sasse or Cotton or even Pence, who are much newer in national politics.
Well, I think you're right. I do believe that if we stayed with the same candidate, I think there would be trouble if Trump does stay in office. But if he leaves, I think that leaves the door wide open because I think, again, as I've said, the story is Putin and Trump collude to defeat Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I do think so. And I want to point out, to answer my comment about not repudiating people in the Democratic Party, there's those on the left who are saying that Cory Booker, Senator Booker of New Jersey, and Senator Kamala Harris of California, and former Governor Deval Patrick, all African-Americans, are too tied to the corporate world and therefore should be repudiated. They're not acceptable to the left. But I think that is a dangerous game to play, to say that automatically, I'm not saying they should be the nominee, that they should be indeed kicked out. and some people would say the same about a few others, including Amy Klobuchar. We're going to be left with almost nobody, you know, to consider if we're going to have such a harsh view of what is acceptable to be a Democratic presidential candidate.
What Democratic person right now, anybody, could walk in and beat Donald Trump head-to-head on the electoral map?
Wow. Well, there's one, but honestly, again, too old. I think the only person I can see now would be Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden. I think, although he'll be 78, and that's the problem, but I think he could. I think he would have won last time. But again, I would not advise someone that age, but I would think right now he's the most unifying factor. And of course, he's not really that far to the left either. He's not extreme left. But I think he has enough goodwill, and the white working class of the nation admire him. And he comes from that background himself, and I do think he's the only one at the moment. And there are indications he is thinking of running, and I wish him the best, and I'm a big fan of his. And if he got nominated, I would support him and back him and be thrilled about it. I would just worry about his advancing age. That's what worries me about people in their late or mid-70s.
Wouldn't there be a story, though, to be written that Biden has lost twice? He was in the primary with Dukakis, and he was also in the primary with Hillary and Obama?
True, but he was not the nominee at the time. That's the difference.
Well, Hillary wasn't the nominee with Obama either.
It's true. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Hillary Clinton gets more people who hate her. I don't think anybody, even if they don't love Joe Biden, everybody admires Joe Biden. The opposition party likes him. He always worked well with them as vice president. When he was the senator, he always crossed the aisle. They may not agree, but they all like Joe. Joe is called Uncle Joe by many, and he's just very much unique and a great personality and lovable, I'd say. Well, and Hillary Clinton is not lovable.
Well, what I don't understand, and why is that? How can she always be consistently the most admired woman in America, but be hated and not lovable?
Well, because she's very competent and qualified, but she's not the greatest personality when she's in public. I hear she's very different in private, but she comes across as stiff. Joe Biden always comes across as if he's your friend. He has a way about him that very few politicians have, and that's just his unique gift. But Hillary comes across as uncomfortable in public, I've heard very differently in private, which I wish we could see more of, but she just doesn't seem to be able to do it in public.
Do you think that might be the bombshell in the book? Maybe revealing some of her private life, revealing some of her private decisions. Because there's just something, I feel it in the water, that she's not done. Because I think she would have said that by now. She's done so many, I don't want to call them speeches, but she's done so many seminars with people where they ask her if she would run again. They ask her if she would run for mayor of New York. And she says, I don't think so. But why wouldn't you just say no at this point?
Well, to run for mayor of New York would be crazy. I really don't think that makes sense. I guess in her mind she hopes for another opportunity, but an awful lot would have to happen. The polls, would, of course, polls are not always accurate, as we've learned, but polls would have to show that the people really wanted her, and Trump would have to no longer be president for that to happen. But again, I think it actually would be easier for Joe Biden to be the nominee if he could overcome the age issue. I think, you know, many people would love to have him run again. And again, if it wasn't for his age, I'd be all behind him. But I just wish he was, you know, much younger than he is. But he's had a very long career, one of the longest ever. He had, after when he came down to it, he had 36 years in the Senate. He's like, I think, 15th longest, and 8 years as vice president. 44 years of service. That's one of the long, just about the longest of anybody in public life, except for a handful of people in the Senate, like Ted Kennedy, had longer, but very, very few have more.
Do you think Kasich could do it? Kasich has run a few times and always finished dead last.
Well, Kasich is a warmer individual, not like Joe Biden, but he is warmer than many, but he comes across as a little bit too brainy, I think, to many people, like he's above the crowd. I think he might alienate people as being a little too intellectual, is my way of looking at it. But actually, if you looked at my blog back in 15, I was saying that if I had my choice of who I wanted to be the competitors in 16, it would have been Joe Biden and John Kasich, and we'd be very fortunate no matter who won.
And why does the country choose Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton?
Well, part of it is the primary system and the caucus system. Part of it is the whole way we nominate. And there was a lot of discontent against Obama by those who wanted Trump. and a lot of discontent against other Republicans in the establishment. And Hillary did have an edge because she had the party apparatus behind her and some scandal involved in the Democratic National Committee. And really, I thought Martin O'Malley would be her major competitor if Joe Biden didn't run. But instead, he did not become one. Instead, it was Bernie Sanders, a big surprise.
Well, what always
like a rebellion against the norm, I guess, where people back Trump and Sanders.
Well, what always confused me about last year was when we finally got down to the last two, Trump and Hillary, I just kept hearing, boy, these are the two worst candidates. Well, how in the world? Well, we chose them.
Well, a lot of it is our system of how we nominate. I don't think it's necessarily the best system. I think we need a reform. But for one thing, I would eliminate caucuses completely. I think they're very undemocratic, small d. I think it should all be primaries, not caucuses. And I think because that often the caucuses tend to bring out people more extreme on the left or the right, Democrat or Republican, while primaries bring out more moderate choices. But I do think that we, if I had my way, which I don't, of course, have, I would think we should have a primary system everywhere in the country.
What do you think, last night when I was watching the special on CNN that Fareed Zakaria did on why Trump won, you know, I'm looking at the Javits Center in New York, and they showed a lot of pictures of the glass room, and it was going to be break the glass ceiling, and those people crying when Hillary didn't win. Now, I understand, I guess, they didn't want Trump, I get that, but to drive them to cry, is there a dislike for Hillary, a genuine dislike, or is that a media-made fictitious? They dislike her when she's running. They like her when she's not running.
I think a large percentage of women particularly wanted her, I think very definitely. I think with men, it was not so. I think more men looked at her as a bossy, dominating type of person that may remind them of their boss at work, who might be a woman. I think there is a lot of misogyny in it. I'm not saying there were certainly many men who wanted her, but I think that probably more than half the men were not thrilled about her, even those who voted for her. But I think a vast majority of women, except those who are overly religious, the evangelical women are not going to be that way, obviously. But I think that a large majority of women saw this as important. And of course, for those who were grandmothers, those who were old, who had lived their whole lives and wanted to see it happen, this may have been their last chance to see it, and that's sad. And I remember being upset about that angle as well.
Well, you know, I was watching that special again, and hate to keep referring to it, but something that fascinates me about that entire special is that Hillary did not need to win Ohio. She didn't need to win Florida. If she had won Pennsylvania and Michigan, she could have even lost Wisconsin, and she still could have been elected president. That being said, if the electoral map is set up that way, if you would have had the traditional Republican, let's say it would have been Kasich versus Hillary, I would say that Kasich would carry Ohio. Now, would he have carried Florida? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So he loses.
I'm amazed, actually. Well, not that amazed. I live in Florida, but I'm amazed by Florida, how right-wing it has become, right-wing Republican. It used to be different years ago. We had Bob Graham, and we had Lorton Childs, and we had Ruben Askew, and we had moderate, not liberal, but moderate Democrats, and the state was run much better. But lately, particularly now under Rick Scott, it's been an atrocious government in the last 8 years, and now there's danger he might take over Bill Nelson's seat in the Senate, and I hope Bill Nelson survives. But who knows? You know, it could be that it's going to become even more red of a state.
Well, that being said, if you do have the traditional Republican, the Republican has to win Florida and Ohio just to be competitive, and they have to pick up one of the other three, Michigan, Wisconsin, or Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat can lose Ohio and Florida now, the way the map is set up, and still become president. I don't think, honestly, I think the only Republican who could have beat Hillary Clinton would have been Donald Trump, because I think he appealed to Democrats. I don't think any the other, 12 or 13 of them there were.
Actually, 17.
Yeah, we had the spillover in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of them could have beat Hillary Clinton.
Well, I wonder about Jeb Bush, you know, because I think he, you know, being past governor, he might have won Florida.
I don't think he would have won Ohio.
I think he might have. I think Jeb Bush could have possibly. You know, it's all speculation, but, you know, there were many people who didn't want a Bush and a Clinton, so that certainly hurt him. And his own brother's record hurt him, but I think Jeb Bush would have been a far better candidate and would not have gone around insulting people and bullying people. None of them would have, actually. None of the other candidates. And that's what shocks me the most, that people, too many, were willing to accept his shortcomings and the way he treated people and insulted everybody. And it's still going on. Now he's insulting, the Connecticut senator, over his military record when, okay, he did not serve in Vietnam, but he was in the military, Blumenthal. But Trump, of course, avoided the military altogether, and that should be brought up whenever this is, like you just mentioned. Well, what about your service? You didn't even go into the military at all.
You know, I did not realize, because I think these games are interesting looking at the last election. If it had been a clear-cut victory, I don't think we'd be looking back this much. But I think what's fascinating is that a lot of people are focused now on Russia. But the Comey letter, I did not realize that the poll before the Comey letter on October 28th, Hillary Clinton had a 6-point lead. The day before the election, she only had a 3-point lead, which is in the margin of error to lose. How much did that Comey letter affect the election?
I think it affected it a lot. It's amazing, though, that the whole scandal about Trump with the Access Hollywood thing seemed to have just disappeared. But to me, that should have had a greater effect on people, particularly those who might have been antagonized by Bill Clinton's sexual proclivities and yet were now apparently willing to forget Trump for what he has done all along, which is far worse than anything Bill Clinton's ever done as far as dealing with women. That's the hypocrisy of what goes on.
On the day of the election, 19% of the electorate was considered to be undecided. 12% went for Trump, 5% went for Clinton. It usually breaks pretty close to even. Why didn't it this time?
I think because the Comey letter had a great effect, and I think people were willing to say that we need someone who's not in government, someone outside, who's going to clean up the swamp. And, of course, he's not done that at all. He has all these billionaires on Wall Street with him. I think it's because people were tricked. They were bamboozled. And, unfortunately, too many voters keep on believing what they hear about politicians. And they hear a man say, I'm not a politician, I'm different. But actually, he's worse than a politician. He is an incessant liar. He lies more than any other president in history. And I'm about to write an article about that on lying today. I'm going to have it later, saying, yes, Bill Clinton lied about his love life. Yes, Dwight D. Eisenhower lied about the U-2 spy plane incident. Yes, Nixon lied about Watergate. But they didn't incessantly lie in the way that Trump does, which, according to the New York Times, 5 lies a day on the average, and it never ends. And he's never held accountable for anything he lies about. And he keeps on making up his own alternate universe. And it's just people did not appreciate how dangerous this man really was and is. And now we're stuck with him in a foreign policy crisis.
Michael Moore is in New York right now peddling a Broadway show in which he points out that Hillary Clinton only lost Michigan by 2 votes per precinct. And the day before the election, she was ahead 11 points in Pennsylvania. Now, an interesting question is isn't it odd, maybe it's just me, isn't it an odd coincidence that during their last debate, one of the questions was, will you accept the outcome of this election? And Donald Trump said he did not know. And that was considered to be just one of the, that's a horrible thing. It was on the front page of the newspaper the next day.
And I even wrote about it on the blog, criticizing it, yes.
Yes, but what was funny about that is when Hillary Clinton lost by such a narrow margin, I remember in that time between the election ending and the time they were going to recount the votes in Michigan because it was so close, they said, let's not do it because even if Michigan swings, that's not going to swing it for her. Didn't that take away Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's ability to challenge Donald Trump because they had downed him so much for saying he wouldn't accept the outcome of the election?
Looking back at it now, I could say yes, but I could say, how about in 2000 when Al Gore did not demand a recount of the entire state of Florida, not just certain counties? That was a mistake, and it might have changed if it had a full count. It might have changed what happened in 2000, and Al Gore would have been in the White House.
And why does this keep happening to the Democrats and nobody figures out what to do?
I think the Republican Party plays hardball better than the Democrats. The Republican Party is much more hard-nosed, I think, historically. You could go back to 68, Nixon, talking to the South Vietnamese government, you know, not to agree to any kind of a plan that Lyndon Johnson and Hubert Humphrey were promoting in 1980. The story that goes that apparently Iran was told, do not release the hostages until the inauguration. They play hardball, and they play dirty, and they get away with it, while Democrats, as a general rule, are more, I don't want to use the word nice, but they're more willing to not go nasty, and that's the argument that maybe we do have to go nasty, but I don't like that, personally. I don't think that's the way politics should be, but I think the Republican Party has won many times where it's questionable about their tactics, 1968, 1980, 2000, now 2016. Even some of the tactics used against Michael Dukakis in 1988 are objectionable. And that's just the history of the Republican Party in the last 50 years.
Is it hard for a Republican, if your prediction is correct and Donald Trump is no longer in office, whether it's Pence or Kasich or whoever it may be, would it be hard for them to win just for the things that Trump has said? Because they are not Trump.
As far as winning the nomination or winning the election?
Well, the election. If let's say it's Kasich. Well, if it's Kasich and Pence, because Trump has been removed from office, and you have President Pence, who's never elected, and you have Kasich, who wants it, who wins that primary?
Well, I would hope Kasich would, but probably Pence would have an advantage being the sitting president. It reminds us of Gerald Ford in 76 had to battle with Ronald Reagan, and it was a real battle, but he did defeat him for the nomination. We've never had a sitting president denied renomination by his party since Chester Alan Arthur in 1884, who was denied it, luckily, because he died of Bright's disease in 1886. So had he been elected, or had he been nominated and won, instead of Grover Cleveland, who did win, he would have died in office. But, I mean, William Howard Taft was renominated in 1912, Herbert Hoover in 1932, and of course Gerald Ford in 76, Jimmy Carter in 80, and George H.W. Bush in 1992. However, they all lost, so I do think that it is a battle. I think Pence, you know, would probably win the nomination, but would lose the election to the Democrats, but only if they get their act together. And right now, if it was not right now, I'd have to say Joe Biden would be the best bet at the moment, but I don't really know if it's the best bet 3 years from now. That's the problem. We'll have to see what happens over the next few years, who really shines.
If Donald Trump, I mean, I remember the protest during the Nixon years, but they were all anti-Nixon. There weren't many that were pro-McGovern. In that removal of Nixon,
which was up in 1972, yes.
Yes. So why? Well, what would happen if your theory is correct and Trump resigns or is impeached and loses and is put in jail?
About being put in jail, that I'm not so sure of.
You don't think he
will? Pardoned. I don't see him going to prison, although many people would wish he could be put in prison, but I doubt that.
You think he would be pardoned?
I think Pence would probably pardon him, and that would harm him, and it would be like a Ford thing with Nixon. I think it would harm him for the 2020 election, yes.
But do you think Trump is guilty?
I think he's guilty of Russian collusion. I think he's guilty of obstruction of justice. I think he's guilty of abuse of power, of breaking the emoluments clause of the Constitution. That's at least four things already. And all you need is one impeachment charge to go to an impeachment, you know, the House votes to impeach, to send him to the Senate for an impeachment trial. Now, whether there would be a way to get a two-thirds vote, I do not know. I would tend to think unlikely. But honestly, as I just wrote in an article on History News Network, the number of Republicans who are alienated in the Senate are growing. And, of course, conservatives, as I said on Adam's show earlier today, conservatives not in the Republican Party or not in Congress, but indeed those who are part of the intellectual community, such as, just examples, Glenn Beck, David Brooks, Eric Erickson, David Frum, Jonah Goldberg, Margaret Hoover, who's President Hoover's great-granddaughter, Charles Krauthammer, Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard, Rich Lowry of the National Review, also Peggy Noonan, and also Karl Rove, of course, who worked for George W. Bush, Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post, even Ken Starr, imagine that, from the Clinton scandals, and also Nicole Wallace and George Will, all are vehemently against Trump as as is Steve Schmidt, who worked for McCain, as did Nicole Wallace, and of course is on MSNBC a lot. He's totally condemnatory. So I think there could be a move to possibly get a two-thirds vote to remove him, but right now I would say it's not evident. But I also think Trump would probably, if it got to that point of a trial, he would resign.
If all these Republicans dislike Trump...
And conservatives, yeah.
Yeah. What is he, then? Is he really a Republican?
No.
What is he? Populist?
He's a populist, but he's not even a conservative. Conservatives condemn him, like George Will, big time. He's a populist, and I think he has elements of fascism in him, really. I think he does. And I think people like Stephen Bannon and Stephen Miller, the alt-right, are dangerous, and they're trying to get rid of H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, and hopefully that will not happen. And the thought that Stephen Miller, the rumor is, might become communications director to replace Scaramucci is horrifying. That's making things worse. Stephen Miller should not be anywhere near power, in my opinion. Neither should Stephen Bannon. But it's a question of who's going to win the struggle for power within the Oval Office.
Isn't there haven't we gotten, though, what we wanted? I mean, did Donald Trump not win the election?
Well, if you go by the way the vote count is with the Electoral College, but I feel if you've lost 54% of the vote to your opponent, 11 million fewer votes, and you have every other president who had a lower percentage had two serious contenders who won electoral votes, while Trump only had one, and that's Hillary Clinton, I think that there's still a debate about whether he won technically, but I do not think of him as having had a great victory, and certainly nothing like he claims the best victory since Ronald Reagan. That is hallucinatory. That is crazy, and of course it's not true.
Well, see, to me, that's the conundrum, because if you make that argument that we didn't get what we wanted, that Hillary Clinton really was the winner, if you make that argument, just as you did now, can't she make that argument?
She could, but again, I think a lot of people are going to say, Hillary, we've had enough of you. We need a fresh face. That's why Joe Biden may be a problem. But again, he has a warmer personality. I think he could get over that. Of course, the age issue is there. But I just think that a lot of people are going to say, oh, my God, Hillary again, because partly because she's who she is, partly because she's a woman, partly because she's a Clinton. And I find it hard to believe she would actually be the nominee and that she could win. I think Joe Biden right now is the leader, but hopefully there'll be others coming up that would be more likely, and I would promote people we're not hearing much about, such, but I think a good Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. I would also include Amy Klobuchar, Senator from Minnesota, and even some of those African-American people, African-American senators and former governors. I think there's all people to consider, and I think we have to be wide open in indeed doing this and not be so exclusionary and say, well, we can't have these people because they're connected to corporations, or we can't have these people for some other reason. I'm just hoping that even a person like Mark Warner, who's the vice chairman of the Intelligence Committee, I think is a good choice. He's a moderate, but I think being from Virginia, he could be a good choice also. So I think we need to have an open mind. But right now, if it was happening now, I'd say Joe Biden would be the best person.
So my question is if your prediction is right and Donald Trump is not in office in the spring of next year, May of 2018, what happens the day after he leaves? I mean, are there riots? Are there pickets? Or do people just go to work and say, oh, we thought that was going to happen?
There probably would be some reaction, unfortunately, of some violence. And, of course, he would probably form his own Trump TV station, and he would be a menace and a threat constantly, always in the news, because he would say that he had been forced out of office by corrupt politicians. I think that as long as he is able to speak and write on Twitter and have press conferences and be covered by news media, he's going to always be a problem, even for the next president, even if it is the person who he made vice president.
If that does happen, what does Hillary Clinton say the next day? If they prove that there was collusion to defeat her, does she just not speak and just say, well, you know, I would have won. Something illegal was actually done, so I wouldn't win. So I just go off into the good night.
I would think Short term, she would say nothing because I think she'd want things to settle down. I think maybe a month or two later she would, but it would not be wise the next day to be jumping in on it because that would only incense those who were for Trump. So I would think she would not make any public statement for a while, but eventually she might, and depending on timing, she might start a campaign. I just think she'd have problems being the nominee, but she certainly has every right to run, and I would wish her the best.
I think there are two problems here in our last few minutes. I think the two problems are this. I think when Nixon resigned, because I think you're leaning more toward the resignation of Trump than the impeachment and...
More likely to be able to occur, yes.
Okay. So if Trump resigns, here are the differences with Nixon. This is where the parallels stop. Nixon's vice president at the time was not there when Nixon... the Watergate break-in happened.
That's correct. I wish we had Gerald Ford today as vice president. I've said
right. That
before.
But Pence would have been there. Well, he was there at the convention, which is where they say a lot of this went down and after. So Pence was there at the time. So that would be one problem for people disliking Pence, number one, because they say, well, he was there too. He was a part of that whole mess.
And he's also not a moderate like Gerald Ford, a moderate conservative. He's much more to the right than Gerald Ford was.
So him pardoning... Trump is a little different than Ford pardoning Nixon because Ford didn't have anything to do with Watergate. There's a possibility. Well, Pence at least benefited from Russian collusion, whether he knew about it or not. So it'd be a little different to pardon, I think. And then the other issue is, like I say, I just don't know. I looked at the day after the election, those seas of people in New York and California and Chicago who were all in the streets. And if you say that Hillary Clinton should have won, it's very hard for me to believe because McGovern was not going to win no matter what happened at the Watergate.
That's true.
It's very hard to say, well, yeah, I should have won. I even wrote a book telling you what happened. and now I'm just going to go to sleep and let Joe Biden, who's 6 years older than me, run for president.
Well, actually, you'll be 5 years older, to be exact. It's very complicated. We'll certainly have a lot of stuff we could talk about for the next eons of years, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, the day, if your prediction does come right, the day after will be a very interesting day. I think that'll be something, because I just think that Pence, I don't think Pence survives. I think if Trump resigns, I don't think Pence survives because I believe he might be one of the people indicted. That's my prediction.
Then we would get Paul Ryan, which I think would not be desirable, Speaker of the House. In some ways, even worse, I think. I think we're running out of time, though, aren't we? Or does it go over the hour?
Well, we're done now. that's where
okay,
we
I've
are.
Had a great time, and I hope to talk to you soon again. This has been really enlightening.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Feinman. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
And we are out of time. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Getting people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating? Our world would be better.